Well, thank you for that prayer. There are so many horrifying news these days that we have sort of grown numb to these shocking news. But this one may still shock you. A pastor of a mega church marries a porn star. And he says that God told him to marry her. Well, that's not exactly the truth, but something like that happened in ancient Israel. There are two marriages in the Bible where God directly arranged, and the first one is Adam and Eve, and the second one is Hosea and Gomer. It was God who commanded prophet Hosea to marry a prostitute, and that was a shocking event because you don't associate a marriage of a prophet with a prostitute. And why would God ask a holy prophet to marry a prostitute? It was to show Israelites how much God loved his people, Israel. And Hosea's marriage to Gomer was to show God's faithfulness despite Israel's unfaithfulness. The prophet's marriage certainly brought people's attention, and it was the biggest scandal in his province. And in today's text, the first part is about God's love for his people, and the second part is about Hosea's love for Gomer, his wife. And the two are related. And let's read today's text. "Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her." This is God speaking to Israel. "And there I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. You will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved ones. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God." And we'll continue with chapter 3. "The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a letheg of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any men, and I will behave the same way toward you." Or another version says, "I will live with you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessing in the last days." Our Sunday school curriculum, the Gospel Project, follows the story of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we are still in the Old Testament, and we are nearing the end of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Hosea was a prophet who lived in the northern kingdom of Israel during her last days. His ministry began during the reign of Jeroboam II and lasted until the very last king, a king named Hoshea, who lost his kingdom to Assyria. Hosea's contemporary in the southern kingdom of Judah are prophets like Isaiah and Micah. Hosea's ministry spans for about 40 years, and the first assignment that he gets from God is to get married. And Hosea was like, God, that sounds great. Who is the ministry partner you have in mind for me? And God says, Gomer the prostitute. God commanded Hosea to marry Gomer because God wanted Hosea's life to be a living parable of his love for his people. The book of Hosea demonstrates the nature of God's love, what kind of love God has for his people. First, we see that God's love is suffering love. If Isaiah showed us a suffering servant, Hosea shows us God's suffering love. And Hosea knew from the beginning of his marriage that Gomer would not be faithful to him. For God says, go take for yourself an adulterous wife. God was saying to Hosea, she will be unfaithful to you. And Hosea would not have suffered much if Gomer was faithful to him. But Gomer went after other men, even though she was married to Hosea. And they did have three children, but Hosea was not sure whether they were his children or not. His marriage with Gomer made Hosea understand God's suffering in his relationship with Israel. The reason for God's command for Hosea to take an adulterous wife was because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery and forsaking the Lord. Like other OT prophets, Hosea says that idolatry is spiritual adultery. And God was saying to Hosea, when you see your wife running after other men, aren't you furious? Aren't you deeply hurt? Aren't you disgusted? When Israel abandons me and goes after other gods, my heart is broken. And God reveals his broken heart in these verses throughout the book. Chapter 2, verse 13. I will punish Israel for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after other lovers, but me she forgot. There is a pain of rejected lover. Chapter 7, verse 13. Woe to them because they have strayed from me. Destruction to them because they have rebelled against me. I long to redeem them, but they speak lies against me. They do not cry out to me from their hearts, but wail upon their beds. Again in chapter 11, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to Baals, they burned incense to images. God compares himself to a rejected lover, an abandoned father. Though Yahweh was forsaken by his people again and again, God does not forsake his people. Though Israel broke her covenant with Yahweh again and again, God still kept his covenant on his part. And that is why God suffers. He suffers because he is faithfully keeping that covenant. And if God had broken the covenant the first time Israel broke it, God would not have suffered as much. But just as Hosea suffered every time Gomer went after another man, God suffered every time Israel went after other idols. Second, we see that God's love is pursuing, initiating love. Despite the repeated rejection and rebellion of Israel, God keeps on pursuing Israel for relationship. He says, therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. Now, therefore, is following verse 13, which says, I will punish her. She decked herself with jewelry and went after other lovers, but me she forgot. Therefore, the logical sequence should be, therefore I will reject you, I will punish you, and I will abandon you as well. But that's not what God says. God's grace flies in our face. Instead of giving punishment that Israel deserves, God initiates a relationship out of grace. He says, I am going to entice you. I am going to woo you. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And that is what God does to win us back. God doesn't force us to return and obey God. All of us are guilty of spiritual idolatry. We have followed the pleasures, the comforts, the success of this world, and we have loved other things, other lovers more than God. Though we have rejected God, God does not reject us. Rather, God comes to us where we are and takes us to the wilderness. Wilderness was like a honeymoon period between God and Israel, at least the first part before the golden calf. God wants to start over clean. God takes us to the wilderness so that God can be with us alone, so that he can speak tenderly to us. In Hebrew, it means that he will speak to her heart. When God does, God will allure us. God will entice us. God will woo us. And he will say what a lover would say to a lady when they step away from the noisy party and slide into a peaceful garden. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and I will show you my love. So God renews his covenant, and God renews his commitment to his bride. And this new covenant will last forever despite the failings of his people. And in response to God's initiation, Israel will say to God, you are my husband, you are my God. And later in chapter 3, Gomer leaves Hosea for another man, and she gets herself in debt, and she is sold as a slave, probably because of a debt that she could not pay. And this time, Hosea might have thought, well, this is it. I've had it with this person. She is not my wife anymore. I don't care if she's in slavery. In God's law, punishment for adultery is stoning to death. And maybe that's what she deserves. But then Hosea hears the voice from God. Go, show love again to your wife, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. There are, raisin cakes are offerings to foreign gods. So God was saying, Hosea, don't give up on Gomer. Go and show love again. And that is how I love my people. When Israel was pursuing other idols, I was pursuing after Israel, and I have not given up on Israel. So go and you pursue Gomer. Love her as I love Israelites. So we see that God's love is pursuing love, initiating love, patient love, and never giving up love. And thirdly, God's love is redeeming love. When God told Hosea to go after Gomer, Hosea went to the slave market and he bought her for the price of 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And that was about the average price of a female slave back then. And after the rescue, Hosea does not say to her, you are no longer my wife. You will be my slave because I bought you. Here, wash my feet. He doesn't say that. But following God's heart, following God's example, Hosea speaks tenderly to her, not as his slave, but as his wife. You are to live with me many days, and you must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any men, and I will live with you. I will love you as my wife. And Hosea must have longed to hear Gomer ask him for forgiveness, voice her love for him, and to live a new life in faithfulness. And like the prodigal son, this may be the moment when Gomer for the first time realizes how much Hosea suffered because of her. And after receiving such redeeming love, Gomer probably did ask for forgiveness, voice her love for Hosea, and live the rest of her life in faithfulness. And what Hosea did is a picture of what the Messiah does for all of us. All of us have pursued other gods and were under the curse of the law and under the wrath of God. But Christ came to give his life as a ransom for many, to set us free from God's wrath and from the curse of the law. And after rescuing us, Christ speaks to us tenderly. You are no longer my enemies. You are no longer my servants, but you are my sons and daughters. You are no longer an adulterous harlot, but my beloved, holy, blameless bride. And that is the Christmas message spoken 7 centuries before Christ came. In love, Christ pursued us from heaven to earth. In love, Christ suffered for us in our place. In love, Christ paid the ransom price to redeem us from the curse of the law. And Christ offers to us the most intimate and satisfying relationship with him as our husband and as our father. And John tells us, this is how God showed us his love. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love because he first loved us. And for me, as I was preparing this message, this kept echoing in my ears. Go and show love again. Go, show love again. Throughout the history of Israel, Israel pursued other gods, but God showed his love for his people again and again and again. And we are to love other people as God loves us. And maybe some of us feel like Hosea when she was sold into slavery. Maybe we feel like saying, I think I've had it with this person. This person is incurable, hopeless. I think I want to give up. But that's when God tells us, go, show love again. We may say, Lord, I've shown love to this person 7 times. I've done the best I can. But God says to us, not just 7 times, but 77 times. Who is the person that needs to see your love once again? It may be your parent. It may be your spouse. It may be your own child, your sibling or a friend, your neighbor, your coworker, even your boss or a church member. Do you hear the voice of God saying to you, go and show love again? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the faithful love that you've shown to Israel and to us today. We thank you that you do not give up on us. We thank you that you pursue us. We are grateful that you have suffered so much to love us. And we thank you for your love that is redeeming. We thank you for buying us with the blood of Christ and setting us free from the wrath of God, Lord. And would you help us to show your kind of love to people around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's spend some more time in prayer. As we heard today in the message, the relationship between Hosea and Gomer is a picture of our relationship with God. God has suffered because he loves us. He has pursued us and redeemed us, even though we don't deserve it. And the final message for the church is to live showing this same love to those around us. But we cannot live this kind of life unless we experience his love just like Hosea did. We need to experience God's suffering, pursuing, and redeeming love for us. And we do this by pursuing God in his word and in prayer. I know I pray about this every single time I'm up here, but that's how important it is to live a Christian life. When we seek God and experience him, we're able to live each day filled with the Holy Spirit. So first, let's pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that God's amazing grace in our lives can be realized and experienced every day. And let's pray for hearts that will really intentionally pursue and seek God every day in his word and in prayer. Let's pray.